Are we glad this morning that the formula has never changed for revival? Amen. God has never changed. He never will change. And the formula has never changed to see God do a great work in our lives. I heard a story. My great-grandfather always used to told us. You know, he walked in one time to all of his young ministers in his church and said, "Boys, I've done it. I figured out the key to revival." And they all, you know, were excited. My dad in there included, all excited. "Oh, what's the key?" He said, "I got it. It's easy. It's a simple key to revival. Praying and fasting." And of course, "Oh, are you serious?" And that's the sad thing. It's come to that point where it's all praying and fasting. Are you serious? That's the key to, it's the key to revival. Taking time out of your day and seeking God's face to see God do something in your life and to revive our souls. And to set some food aside and say, "Lord, I'm going to get as close as I can possibly get to you, Lord. I'm going to seek your face every day." Revival has never changed, and the formula for it and getting close to God has never changed. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6. You know, we didn't have, I told her, we didn't have Sunday school this morning, so I get to take a little extra time. So an hour and a half, are we good with that? No, I'm joking. About an hour, that, no, I'm joking too. But 2 Samuel chapter 6, we'll be reading there in verse 10 through verse 12. Not a lot of reading this morning, but I have a direction, a point where I'm going with this. The Lord gave me this in my heart. When Brother Shane was leaving and I was going to have to preach this morning, the Lord put this in my heart, and I've gone in there and done some studying the best I could. So just pray with me this morning as we preach this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting there in verse number 10. "So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness." This morning, I'll be preaching on a simple topic: living room revival. A living room revival. If you would, stretch your hands for this morning and just pray for me as I preach this word. Father, right now, Lord, I ask you to touch me, God. I ask you to be with us this morning, God. Anoint me to preach this word to your people, Lord. I cannot do this on my own, but I can only do it with you, God. Lord, I pray you just anoint me. Let your will be done, Lord. Let our ears be open to listen. Let our minds be open to pay attention, God. And Lord, let our hearts be open to put this and apply this to our daily walk with you, Lord. I pray you just touch us and anoint me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. A living room revival. We find ourselves here in 2 Samuel, and you read the story of what's going on in chapter 6. You know, David is now trying to move the ark into Jerusalem, and he's trying to do it the way that David only found himself to do it, sometimes in his own way. And now, you know, they load it onto the cart, and as they're traveling, they get across the threshold, and Uzziah reaches his hand out, and what does he try to do? He stops the ark from, you know, trying to stop the ark from falling off the cart. He touches it, and the Lord smites him. And now we find ourselves with David, who is fearful of God, and he's wondering what he's going to do. So now what he does is says, "You know what, Obed-Edom, I'm just going to put this in your house. I'm going to set this here, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to figure out what I need to do. But for right now, I'm just going to put it right here, Obed-Edom. If you don't mind, I'm going to give it to you, and it's just going to be left in your house just for a little while. So can you just do this for me, Obed-Edom?" And we find ourselves here of how the Lord was in the house of Obed-Edom, and it blessed him, and it blessed his family, and a revival was inside the house of Obed-Edom because the Spirit of God and the Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in the house of Obed-Edom. Why does home revivals matter? Because home is where the heart is, and where the heart is, that's where our passion lies. Amen. Joshua 24 tells us, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Revival does not start at the church building. It starts in our hearts at home. The building, the church building does not get hungry for God. It doesn't get hungry from a move of God. It doesn't get hungry to go and win souls for God. It doesn't fast and find itself in a prayer closet alone for God. The building doesn't do that. It is the heart of the people that dwell inside the building. It is the heart of the church people that will get alone with God and get on our knees and pray to Him saying, Father, I pray You help me this morning. God, I want a move of Your Spirit in my life this morning. God, I want You to dwell inside my heart this morning so I can be a better Christian day by day. No, church, it is not the building. It is not the roof that gets on fire. It's not the carpet that finds itself alone with God. It is not the pews that seeks for the move of God. No, it is us, church. It is the living body of Christ, or the living church of Christ. It is us who desires a move of God, and we've got to find ourselves doing again in the last days. All the church building is, the sanctuary specifically, is just nothing but four walls and a roof. It's brick and mortar. It's material things. Sad to say that we find ourselves and we see Christians today. I know people personally who are like that, who idolize the building and a building's history and forget about the move that once happened in the building, and they keep thinking that, oh, it's because of the church building and it's because of the building on the hill that God's moving. That's where God is. That's where His place is. That's where I need to go. No, it is what's inside of our hearts. If we would decide saying, Lord, I want You in my house. I want You in my heart. I want You in my car on my way to work. God will be with us always. And that's the problem we find ourselves. We decide to idolize a building. We decide to look at that building's history and just so much detail. Oh, how wonderful it was back in the 80s and back in the 50s and the 60s. And man, God moved and how powerful it was and how great. Listen, there is nothing wrong with church history. I love looking through church history. And for those who know me at our short time here, I love history. There's nothing I love more than history. My wife all the time gets on me because all I'll do is look at history documentaries, and I just love history. I love learning about it, and I love church history, and I love learning about the early church. But if we find ourselves only looking at the past, we can never prepare ourselves for the future. As a church, if all we do is look at the past and what happened back then and just continue to look backwards and say, man, how great it was back then and how powerful God moved back on Azusa Street and how powerful God moved in our churches long ago, we can never get our eyes off the past and we can never get them on the future because we're too busy looking back of what happened. Me and my father-in-law, every time I'm there, we'll talk about, every time I'm there in Wilson, we'll talk about the history and what happened and the revivals that happened specifically in the Wilson area. We'll talk about the history of the church. We'll talk about the history of revival that burned throughout America and throughout the world. But can I say this with no disrespect this morning? Because I'm not really, but it can be. I am so tired of hearing of the past, with this mindset of acting like it can't happen today. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with looking back of what did happen, but if we continue to look back at it with what did happen and we never say, well, you know, it happened back then and we can still have it today, and we just have that mindset, well, it happened back then, and we don't ever think about it happening today. The reason why it don't happen today is because none of us desires and really wants us to see it happen today. Nobody finds herself alone no more with God. Nobody truly sets time away from entertainment and things that we love to get back on our knees and pray for a move of God this morning. Listen, the church is not dead and gone. The church is not dried up. God's Spirit has not left us. It's still here with us. God will move again if we just get back. Listen, oh, He's moving again. Yeah, but He's still moving today. There's churches that are having a revival. There's Christians gathering all over this nation wanting a move of God. And until we come back in the church house desiring that same movement, unified together, praying with one mind and one accord as they did in Acts chapter 2, we will never never see it happen in this church. We'll never see revival spread across Hampton and throughout Newport News and Yorktown. We will never see God move if we don't find ourselves alone with God, asking God, Lord, give us your spirit again, God. Dwell inside of us again, Lord. I want a home revival. I want revival to burn through my home. I want revival to burn through my home church. I want God to move. Why does that matter? Because if you are on fire, I'm telling you one thing. If you get on fire for God, your loved ones will see there's something different about you. The churches around us will see there's something different about our church here today. There's our loved ones, our friends, our family will see God is moving in our midst. And revival can spark off of us having our own revival. Revival doesn't start in the church building. It starts at home. It starts when a few Obed-Edoms allows the Spirit of God to dwell inside their hearts and inside their homes. It's time that we set our entertainment aside and time that we finally say, Lord, I'm tired of having fun. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of just staying in neutral and just coasting until the rapture happens. I'm tired of seeing this go on. I'm so scared of what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just going to come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and just coast to the finish line and just make it the best I can. We need to be spirit-filled saints once again. We need people to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need people who desire to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. John chapter 14 talks about asking the Father, Father, give it to me, Lord. I desire it. In verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We need Spirit-filled Christians again that operates in the gifts of the Spirit. The reason why we see a church that is lacking and people that are lacking and things that are on the right. Listen, the reason why we see sin so rampant in the world now nowadays is because the church stopped praying to God. The reason why you can go on every street corner and see a homeless person sitting on the side of the road, or you can go down Main Street in New York and just see everything plastered and sin all over, and you can. We were watching it last night, watching some of the games that were happening last night, and all of a sudden the ad came across the TV and it was nothing but the most demonic mess I think I've ever seen. And even Sister Juanita kind of said, "Oh my goodness!" And it stunned us there for a second because of what was happening on the screen. Sin is rampant in the world because the church got away from getting on our knees and praying to God. We decided to say, hey, we can do it on ourselves. We can do it by ourselves. We can do it on our own. And God, we don't really need you. We can just do it by ourselves. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, a baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and don't operate in the gifts this morning, can I tell you, there's a reason to get in these altars and spend more than 10 minutes with God this morning. There's a reason to get in our home altars and spend time in our altars more than 10 minutes at home. We need to get back on our knees and back on our face and seek God. Seek Him. Say, Lord, I don't care how long I've got to be down here. I don't care how much praying I got to do at home. I don't care what I got to do by myself, Lord. I don't care how much food I got to sit aside to fast, Lord. I just want to see your presence in my home again so my loved ones will see a change inside my heart. So revival will spark the... Listen, the reason why we are here today as a church is not just to come here for a time of fellowship and just have fun and hang out and be excited to see our friends here again. That's not the reason why we are here. And if that's the mindset of why we come to church, we might as well just lock the doors up and close it and shut it down. Because the reason why the church here is today, the reason why the church is here today is to go out, preach to the world, to go out there and win souls in the name of Christ and tell them about what the Lord did on the cross for them. We're not just here to fellowship and socialize with people. We are here for a move of the Spirit and to see God work, to see souls saved, to see people won, and to glorify and praise the Lord. We need a few Obed-Edoms this morning to say, preacher, I want to be like him. I want to allow the Spirit to dwell inside my home. I want to be like him and let the Spirit of God come to me this morning and reignite something inside of me and let fire burn down in my belly so I can see God move again in my life. We are here to glorify and to worship the living God, to preach the gospel, to teach the word, and the most important thing is to win souls. We forget that as Christians. We act like this salvation that we have is the best kept secret in the world, and it's only for me and my close friends, and we have a ticket to eternity, and I'm not really gonna care about sharing the word to nobody. I'm not saying we all do that, but that's how we act as Christians. Look back in the last couple months and genuinely, I mean genuinely and critically, looking back in the last month and ask, how many people did you talk to about God? How many people did you actively go pursue to talk about and talk to about the living Savior? It's something as Christians that we forget about and that we act like it's just our own little thing. You know, I don't know if anybody has seen them. I'm seen at a restaurant there at home, you know, at Stories. One of the waitresses gives out these tiny little Jesuses and she'll pass them out to all the customers. That's how we act Jesus is. He's my own little pocket Jesus. I'm going to put him in my pocket. He's just for me. If the church would have kept on their knees, would have kept fasting, and would have kept going out and preaching the word to people, we would not have seen a world like it is. Listen, I understand there's going to be a fall. There's a fall like it is today. I understand that. But the reason why is we stop getting on our knees and praying to God. The reason why we stop seeing our loved ones come to the altar. Listen, I know there's loved ones I've got that I've talked to over and over and over again, and they just won't listen because they're running from God. They were once saved and backslid, and they just keep running and running and running. I understand that happens. But how many people in your family do you genuinely get on your knees and seek? How much do you actively get down in your prayer closet and pray for your lost loved ones, your lost friends, your close, your co-workers? How much time do you spend with God for your family? If we were all to be honest this morning, I think we all could be ashamed of ourselves. Listen, preacher here, I've been many times I found myself where I tried and necessarily didn't pray like I wanted to and spend as much time as I in my heart I wanted to, but the distraction of this world and I just decided, you know, this fun is a little bit more, it's just a little bit more fun than actively getting on my knees and setting time aside and praying to God. This right here is just a little bit more exciting than, we have got to realize that we've got to set up place and a time and get a specific, in my opinion, a specific time and a place to make it a habit to get back on our knees. I'm telling you, we need as the church of Christ to get on our knees and say, Lord, I want to see a move of your Spirit in my homes. I want to see a move of your Spirit in my life so my loved ones can see it, so my friends can see it, so my co-workers can see it, so people I fellowship with can see it, so the person walking down the road can look at me and say there's something different about them. I need to go talk to them. There's something that they're happy about. I don't know what it is. The Great Commission throughout the Gospels in Acts chapter 1 tells us our purpose. We need to be on fire again to reach those that are out in the world. You want an active burning fire? The first thing you got to do is you got to clear out anything that quenches that fire at home. Second Chronicles 29:16 tells us that the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. Before revival comes to the home, there must be a cleansing. Just as Hezekiah reopened and cleansed the temple, we need to remove what hinders God's presence in our homes. That means eliminate unholy entertainment, destructive speech, bitterness, or distractions. How can we expect fire to burn when we have unholiness in our homes? How can we expect God to dwell inside of us when we have active sin going? Listen, I understand. I'm not saying we're sinning, but when we have distractions that are pulling us away to God, pulling us away from God, we have got to understand that this is a spiritual warfare and we need to spend time with God, and this is keeping us from God. So something's got to happen about the thing that's keeping us away from God. I want to spend, 30 minutes to an hour with God in prayer, but this right here is stopping me. Well, all I can tell you is simple this. Something's got to happen about what's keeping you away from God. If this is distracting you, something's got to happen to it. That's for you to know. That's for you to get on your knees and pray. I'm not telling you to go home and throw out everything and just clear it out. I'm not saying that. But if it's actively distracting you from God and it's not allowing and you just can't get your mind off of it every time you go to pray, listen, when I get on my knees, it happens every time when I find myself to pray. I'll get on my knees, somebody calls me. Nobody calls me all day, but for some reason, as soon as I get on my knees, that's when everybody in the world decides to blow my phone up. So what do I do? Well, I put my phone on silent and I stick it over to the side. So now they can call all day long and I'll never hear it. I don't know what it is this morning. I don't know what's at home distracting you from pursuing an active relationship with God and getting on your knees and fast. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you one thing. If it's distracting you from God, you better go home and figure it out. You better go home and get rid of it. You better go home and put some restrictions on it. I don't know what it is, but you better go home and figure it out. Because fire is not going to burn inside of our homes if we have nothing but stuff that is water that is quenching the spirit at home and quenching the fire at home. We've got to figure out what it is, church. We need to get rid of the things that distract us from having revival burn in our church again. Listen, if every single person will go home this morning and throughout the week and get back on our knees, and every single one of us gets on fire again, and we're all ready to go, I can tell you what, there will be a difference when we come into church next Sunday. There will be a different attitude when you go to work on Monday. There'll be a different way you talk to people on Tuesday. There'll be a different way you pay attention on Wednesday. There'll be a different way you act to Thursday and Friday. Why? Because you are actively praying. It's wonderful. We always joke. At different times we joke about different things of learning in the Bible. And every time something gets brought up, well, I learned this. I always say, well, it's amazing. If you read your Bible, you learn something. It's kind of funny. If we find ourselves back on our knees praying to God, we'll find that everything gets so much brighter in life. Even when it's so dark outside and the world is spinning around us, or the world is spinning round and round, and sin is rampant and chaos is going on and things that are happening that we ain't really ready for. If we get on our knees and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to go on in the future. But God, I do know what is going to happen. I do know one thing, that you're with me always. I don't know what's going to go on next week. After the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I don't know what's going to happen in America. Right now, it's bad. I'm just going to be honest. In my opinion, right now in America, it's a bad situation. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know how dark it's going to get. But I do know one thing. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how hard it gets, There's a Christ that I serve that is risen. There's a Christ that I serve that is with me always. There's a Christ that I serve that is right beside me, that when I fall or stumble, he'll pick me up and dust me off and say, come on, let's just keep walking. Let's keep going. I can tell you one thing. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I have hope in Christ Jesus. I have hope in my Savior that will be there with me always, who will help me through all the troubles, that will help me through all the situations. I have hope in my Christ. We got to figure out what is quenching us and quenching the spirit at home and get rid of it. We need to build, in my opinion, a family altar at home. What do you mean a family altar, preacher? We have our own altars. I understand that. But I mean a family altar. You read there in Genesis, Abraham built altars wherever he went. We need to build our family altars at home. Gather the children. Gather your husband. Gather your wife. Say, look, we have our own time of praying by ourselves, but now let's together get together and pray. One for each other. And two for our homes, for our children, for our loved ones. Let's get together and set time aside and pick a specific time for us as a family to get together and pray. We need to be honest with ourselves this morning, not only in our own individual time spent with God, but how often do we pray together as a family? How often do you get your husband, your wife, your children together and say, look, let's just take a moment and let's just spend time with God as a family? There's nothing better to do for a marriage than to get together with God and say, Lord, we are going to pray together to you. Family prayer doesn't have to be a long time, but I do believe it needs to be consistent. And I do believe it needs to be genuine. Not coming together, just repeating, Lord Jesus, touch me, Lord Jesus. I mean genuine prayer. I would rather have 10 minutes of genuine prayer than 30 minutes of just rambling. I would rather have 10 minutes of spirit-led and spirit-filled prayer than just 30 minutes to an hour of nothing but just rambling on and on. But most importantly, consistently setting time aside for prayer. We need to, and I'm almost done, we need to in a sense, fan the fuel daily. How many people here are excited? It's starting to turn, the leaves are starting to fall, it's starting to get cold. We can finally go out and build fires again in the yard. There's nothing I love more than building a fire at home. There's nothing I love more. Listen, I love cooking. And there's nothing I love more than getting a cast iron pan and cooking cheeseburgers over an actual fire. There's nothing I love more than doing that. I did it all the time. Brother Matthew can tell you that. They'd come over all the time to the house. Even Brother Nick, I believe we did it sometimes when Brother Nick came. But they always come. We'd always have fires every time the gas came down. And every now and then we'd cook something over the fire. I love doing it. And for those who do fires, you know when the coals start happening, what do you got to do? You got to fan them and you got to throw something on top of it. I remember, I believe Matt will remember this. A while back, it was us three, and we sat there, and we were burning a fire, and my dad ripped up a big stump out of the ground, and he put it in my wood pile. Well, I said, well, boys, let's just do this. Let's put this one thing on the flames, and it'll never go out. So we stuck it on there, and I'm not going to lie, that thing burned for hours and hours and hours. We started the fire around 8 o'clock. We really didn't go to bed till about 3 o'clock, and that thing was still going and burning. It was a huge stump. How do we fan the flames, the spiritual flames? Worship, giving God worship, coming in here praising Him, coming in here worshiping Him. How many this morning, honestly in your hearts, expected God to move this morning? How many came praying for a move of God? How many prayed for sinners to walk through the doors? How many of us desire to see that happen? How many actively prayed for it to happen? We got to come here. Listen, worship shifts the atmosphere. It turns heaviness into joy and anxiety into peace. If our homes are a place where we lift up God and praise Him daily, then the church house will be an extension of that. If we would turn our homes into a place of worship to God, and as soon as we walk through the doors, listen, work was tough, work was hard, but my God, I walk through my doors and all I can do is feel the presence of God in here. I understand God goes with us always. Listen, there's been many times I prayed in my car going on the way to work. And many times I prayed to God on my way home from work. We need to have our homes as a place of worship and a place of prayer to God. We would get our homes on fire. We would see our church as an extension of our homes. We would see God truly having a revival here. Truly, truly, people on fire. And listen, I'm not saying come in here and run the aisles and shout. I'm not saying that. There's got to be an order in how everything is done. Amen? But I do mean that if we would get on fire for God and we would see that in our life and let our soul and revival burn our spirit, we'll see people differently. We will actively talk to those outside these doors. We'll actively pursue sinners and talk to them about Christ. We need people on fire again for God. You don't need a pulpit for revival. You don't need a preacher for revival. You don't need a building, a church building for revival. You need your heart to actively desire God again. The reason why that you see things going on in your own life, and the reason why you listen, there's been, I'll be honest, honest preacher this morning. I find myself, there's times I find myself for years just in a rut. Not depression, just in a rut, stuck. Just going, as you could say, going through the motions. Sunday after Sunday, going through the motion. Wednesday after Wednesday, going through the motions. It's never going to change. We're never going to get out of that motion of just going in circles again until we actively get our heart back to God and get our minds back on God. What we crave is God. What we honestly crave and want to see is souls won. Jesus said, you know, it is my meat to do the will of the one who sent me. That's one of my favorite verses there in John. His thing that he survived off on, if you want to say, was to see souls won and to do the will of the Father. Is that your cry this morning as a church people and as a people? Is that what you desire to do? Is that what your very will to live off of? Is to see souls won and to see the work of God to go on and to see it continue in this church and to see it continue from decades on until the rapture happens? Is that what you actively desire to see? Are you okay? Or are we just okay putting it in neutral? Coasting down the hill and crossing the finish line and being like, well, you know, it was tough. I did my best. You need a willing heart and an open door for God to move. A willing heart to open up to God and saying, Lord, as my wife comes to the piano, saying, Lord, I want to see you move in my life. I want to see you active in my life. I want to see you in my homes moving. I want your spirits moving in my home, God. Is that your cry this morning? Is your heart open to the will of God? Is your heart open to the mind of God? Is your heart open to the Spirit this morning? Or do we have closed hearts? Closed hearts. Hallelujah. As you stand all over the building. this morning. I'm done. Is that our true passion? Is to see God save souls and win souls again. Listen, God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to get behind this pulpit and preach. He doesn't need, there's plenty of other people that would take my place. But my word, if every single one of us would go home and get back in our prayer closets and seek God again and get on fire as she begins to play and get on fire again and actively pursue the Lord. My word, we could come in here tonight and see a move of God. We could come in here tonight and get in these altars. We need a move of God this morning, church, as we come and find a place to pray. That's our cry this morning. Lord, I pray you touch us. Lord, I pray you help us. Hallelujah.